For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to the Viking Age podcast, the official podcast of thevikingage.com. My name is Chris Shad. I'm a writer for the Viking Age Zone Coverage, Bring Me the News, and the Brookings Register. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're also in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you rate, comment, like, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. Today's guest, he is the co-founder and a co-host at Climb the Pocket. You may have also seen him on Score North along with fellow friend of the show, Tyler Fornes, for Purple on Draft. His name is Miles Gorham. Miles, what's going on, man? Welcome to the show.
What's going on, Chris? Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, and this is a very exciting time for Vikings fans. We're on a tight schedule here, so I'm going to jump right into it right now. The Minnesota Vikings are trying to trade into the top five of the NFL draft to get a quarterback, and every team seems to be open for business. Elliot Wolf, who runs the New England Patriots after Bill Belichick was fired, said that the Patriots are open for business in regards to the third overall pick in the draft. And he also said, we have some holes that we feel like we need to fill in the draft. We're a draft and developed team. The more picks we have, the better. He also said with a caveat that they would be comfortable taking a quarterback if the right deal didn't present itself. So let's just ask you straightforward. Are the Vikings going to trade into the top five of the draft?
I want to say yes, but the hard part is like history shows that they've never done it. So I can't say 100%. I think they're going to, but I would love to see it. I think it would be an exciting, like you said at the top, it's an exciting time, like as Vikings fans, because we need a quarterback. This is a strong quarterback class, and the Vikings have ammo to move up to go get one of those top guys. So I would love to see it happen. I'm going to sit here and say yes, just because I think that to me is more exciting than just like sitting and hoping. So I'm going to say yes, because I think they've done too many things, too much homework. They've added too much draft capital. They've like said too many things that would feel weird if they didn't try to. And so I'm going to say they're going to.
Like, I think at this point, I just want them to make a solid effort. And I think they're going to do that. Like, I think one of the things that, you know, pissed me off the most a couple years ago was the 2021 draft where the Vikings were sitting.
Yeah.
I can't remember where they were, but Justin Fields was on the board. The
14. We were at 14.
14. They clearly like Justin Fields, but I think they offered like the Panthers a 7th-round pick to trade up. Like, I don't think that's happening here. I think the Vikings have done their due diligence with this quarterback class. It's not off vibes or a gut feeling or anything. And I think it just comes down to cost. Like, how much are the Vikings willing to give up? If you were Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, how much are you giving up? And what's your, as he called it, walkaway price for a top five pick?
I mean, I think at this stage, it's probably got to be like what the 3 first-round picks, 11, 23, and 25 would probably be my like. And then you throw in change. Like I always view that like extra change that people got to throw in like the 4th, 5th-round picks and stuff like that. Like those to me, like, yes, they matter. But at the end of the day, like, that shouldn't be the difference between whether a deal like this happens or not. Those are just kind of like fillers. So I kind of view like the core, like the first round, first and second round picks as like the core deal breakers. So for me, I think it's really is like 11, 23 and 25 is kind of like my like, and then obviously, like I said, some fillers, but like those three picks as like my, that's probably the highest I might go in terms of like high end value for what I would give up to go get a quarterback. And that whether it's a top five, top, especially top three, especially top five, I mean, because the top five, obviously the levels of what you're paying to get up changes based off the position you're going after or the spot you're going after, three, four, or five. But to get to three, to me, it would be 11, 23 and a 2025 first. And like I said, some filler. I think that's a really reasonable deal because what we've seen precedent wise is what teams have used to go get up. And I think pick 23 is as valuable as, or probably more valuable than a future first, because it's an existing pick now and you can put a name or a position to that value. Whereas in future picks, all you're doing is hoping and guessing. And at least with the 2025 first, you can expect the Vikings to not be as good as what they've been the last few years. So the hope is for any team trading for it is it's going to be a top 15 pick. So there's that. So that's some leverage the Vikings have. And then obviously the leverage of 11 and 23 being now. And so I always view that as a really strong offer to any team that you're looking to trade up with. That's more than what most other teams like the Broncos or the Raiders could give up to move up as well.
It's, you know, I think anybody sitting in our position with a podcast microphone or anything, it's almost like the fantasy football trade.
Yeah.
You know, you're sitting there, you really like, let's say Caleb Williams or something. You want to trade up into the draft. So, you know, you're tossing out, you know, the league I used to be in, you could trade first rounders 3 years down the road and like, well, yeah, I'll throw in my 2027 first. It's like, I don't know what the hell's going on in 3 years. Like, I don't know where I'm going to be. I might be dead in 3 years by the time I use that pick. Like
the Kyle Shanahan, I might be dead and I might not be alive in, you know, by Sunday.
Right, right. Like the Vikings, I think that's why a deal ultimately is going to get done. Because I think, you know, Brandon Bean, Bill's general manager, said it best. And that quote's been tossed all around. He said at the combine, you know, if I, you know, trade too much for a quarterback, I'm going to get fired anyway. If that quarterback pans out and he's Josh Allen, nobody's going to give a shit. And I think the question is when the Vikings pull the trigger, right? Because we're sitting in here, everybody's like, we're going to have four quarterbacks in the first four picks of the draft. Well, we don't know that. Like, we don't know what other teams are saying for walkaway prices. You could have Arizona sitting there at four and be like, well, we really want Marvin Harrison Jr., and we're going to take him despite all of these draft picks that you're offering us. You know, does it have to be the third overall pick for the Vikings to get their guy? Or do you think the Vikings could trade at four or five with the Chargers to get their quarterback of the future?
I just think that all depends on where the gap is on the top four prospects. I always view this as like the top four QBs, like Caleb Williams, let's just take him out, but he's considered obviously the top. And then there's Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and JJ McCarthy. That's like the consensus top four quarterbacks, top 10 picks. So I view those guys as like the cream of the crop, the guys that like the Vikings are going to be going after or looking to go after. What's their gap between those three guys that are hypothetically available? Whoever Washington takes it to, which the presumption is it'll be Jaden Daniels, which I'll let's just say that's the case. Washington's taking Jaden Daniels. Cool. So it's between JJ McCarthy and Drake May. What's the gap the Vikings have between those two guys? If it's close enough, then I think it's okay to wait and let New England take whoever they want or trade or whatever they want to do. But if they have a true those two guys of who they really want and they expect New England to take that guy, if they don't trade with them, you to go get that guy. That's how I feel. Like I don't believe you should have to give up a first, as we talked about in terms of like, you know, fantasy and all that stuff. Cause I think that four first round picks is just like, that's unprecedented. That's not even to get the first overall pick. That's the third overall pick. And right. So that to me is like, it's just like too much. Like there's such thing as too much. And I think that's the way right there. But it's like the three firsts that we've talked about. And they think, let's say Drake May is the guy that they like, they view as like the second best quarterback in this draft class that's available at the third pick. Go get him. Like, you know, tell New England, this is what we have to offer. This is the best offer you're going to get. And if you're not ready to take on a rookie quarterback right now, because your team is pretty trash. Like that New England team is not in a position to really like bring in a franchise quarterback and like build around them yet. because they don't really have a lot of tools. They don't have Mike Redden like on a rookie contract that's like someone to build around, like someone that you're like the Vikings currently have Christian Darrisaw, they have Justin Jefferson. Like you have those core guys that you can like build around that are on rookie contracts. The Patriots don't on paper have those guys right now, let alone. And then, so that means they're going to have to use, cap space to go get those guys to handle. You always want to have young core players that you can build around. Whereas the Vikings have a few of those guys and are really in a strong position to add that franchise quarterback. So we could tell the Patriots looking to covet. And I just think to me, that's like the best approach. Now, if they view McCarthy or like within each other, then I'm telling New England, hey, take him. Good luck. You know, we hope you all the best, but we're going to sit and wait and trade with Arizona or the Chargers and take the other guy that does that.
I wonder now, you kind of mentioned what the Vikings could be thinking as far as guys and tiers and all that sort of stuff. What is your tier? Like, who is your favorite fit for the Vikings? And why do you think they could be successful in this infrastructure?
I hate this question because it's always like, I just want the Vikings to take one of these quarterbacks and I'll live with ever, whichever one in the top four, especially like, I just want one of them. But in terms of like my preference, it would be Drake May. I just like run guys over because he's so big, like that Josh Allen style. Like, who doesn't want that type of quarterback, that Justin Herbert, that quarterback within a system with Kevin O'Connell, who's shown that he can really get the most out of his quarterbacks, especially like what we saw out of Kirk Cousins. Like, I would love that as a guy that he likes in the league. And like, that to me is like where Drake might fit you, like that style of quarterback. I would love that. Then Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson, Brian O'Neill and Christian Darrisaw, like, and Aaron Jones obviously is right now, like, want to put themselves in that position. I just think Drake May gives you the most upside of the guys available, not named Caleb Williams, out of those guys. And so for me, it'd be Drake May, but I really do like the fit of what a JJ McCarthy could be too. Maybe a little bit safer of a, he understands the infrastructure of what this offense could entail because he's been in it. He's been that pro style offense with Jim Harbaugh. So he's been trained to understand what an NFL quarterback is supposed to see. And I think there's some upside. Plus he's got plus side in athleticism. He's got a stronger arm than I think people even expected him to have. But he just didn't really get to show it off at Michigan. So I think there's upside on both guys, but if I'm picking between the two, it'd be Drake May. And then Jaden Daniels too. Like, I think it's like that body work, that Lamar Jackson style of quarterback, like, is so fun to watch. I'm just not sure that it fits. Like, Kevin O'Connell would have to adjust his offense to fit Jaden Daniels, which I'm okay with. Like, if you're going to take Jaden Daniels, you better be willing to adjust your offense to that guy. But you'd have to do a little bit more of adjustment than you would with JJ McCarthy and Drake May, I think. So I think that's why, for me, they probably have Drake May and JJ McCarthy maybe slightly above Jaden Daniels in terms of fit for what they want to do.
I'm not going to do the internet thing where like top five quarterbacks for the Vikings, but I do kind of think of some things there. Like the Vikings apparently met with Jaden Daniels the other day or yesterday, and Darren Wolfson came out this morning and just said, well, they went down there, they didn't have dinner. I'm sure they landed the plane. They're like, hey, Jane, what's up? Yeah, I'm going to Washington with number two. Oh, well, good luck. this is awkward. But, yeah.
Right?
Do you want dinner? No. Don't worry about it. You guys just save your money. Save your money. I think Jaden Daniels would have been fun, but like you mentioned it too, you look at a quarterback like Josh Dobbs, and I'm not saying that Jaden Daniels is Josh Dobbs. He's worlds better, obviously, but Kevin O'Connell nearly lost his mind trying to design an offense for Josh Dobbs. And I think part of that was because you were in the middle of the season trying to adapt. But right. The other part of it was there were times where Josh Dobbs would run and there would be a wide open window downfield. JJ McCarthy and JJ McCarthy and Drake May, those are guys that they're willing to attack downfield. They're willing to use their arm. They're willing to extend plays. I feel a quarterback, you know, I've heard the Ben Roethlisberger comp when it comes to Drake May as a guy that's a little big. He's a little bit athletic, but not like a Lamar Jackson style runner. And he's able to slip and avoid pressure in the pocket and everything else. I think if they fine tune that, he could be a good fit. And then JJ McCarthy as well. He has the legs to extend those plays and everything mm-hmm. else. you know, there's been a lot of talk about what if the Vikings can't trade up. And Peter Schrager mentioned this in his mock draft, that the Vikings could stay at 23. They could take a defensive player. He had Terrion Arnold. I think Byron Murphy Jr. is the guy that they're going to target if they keep that 11th overall pick. If the Vikings were to stay at 23 and get their quarterback later in the first round, or just, hey, they can't trade up. Like, they get outbid or the top three picks don't want to trade out. Do you think the Vikings would be fine if they had to settle, and I hate using that word, for Michael Penix or Bo Nix?
Well, yes, I think they'd have to be. I mean, the Vikings are put themselves in a position when Kirk Cousins got hurt to then go get Josh Dobbs and not trade away any of their players. Like Danielle Hunter, where they could have gotten extra draft capital for, who they then let walk this offseason, which to me, it's like the second year quarterback gets hurt right before the trade deadline. You weren't going to put yourself in a position to be anything other than a fringe playoff team. And we saw that, and it played out that way. That's why they have the 11th overall pick. They played the middle. And that to me was part of my issue is like, as much as I wanted Danielle Hunter back, as much as I wanted to, like, you know, see if the season could play out, you should have gotten what you could for a guy like Danielle Hunter when you, like, at the time, but probably a second round, maybe third round pick. And then you have more ammo to then go get this quarterback. So I would really struggle with the, like, having to settle scenario just because of where they put themselves. Now I know it's self-inflicted. They have the 11th pick, not the 6th pick. If they'd beaten the Raiders or lost to the Raiders, excuse me, they would have the 6th pick, I think it was. Like, and I'm never a proponent of, like, intentionally losing, because players and coaches are never going to intentionally lose. That's never going to happen. But, like, if they had lost, you know, one of those games, they're in a better position to go get that quarterback now and not have to pay as much, blah, blah, blah. But since they're not, they're kind of put themselves in a situation where they might have to go the route you mentioned, or what, like Peter Schrager said, they might have to just settle for one of those, you know, Bo Nix, Michael Penix, you know, those names later on. If that's the case, again, I'm not going to be happy with it. But as the season, as the offseason goes, I'll get over it because I'll have to. I think the hard part is, like, you're just never going to be in a position where you feel like there's true conviction of that guy compared to, like, what they would get if they went into the top 10 to go get one of those guys. But if they find a way to walk away with a Michael Penix and a Byron Murphy the second, or a Terrion Arnold, like Peter Schrager had said, I think I would get over it, because I think those guys are really good prospects. I just think there'd be a limit to the upside. And that's where, like, I want to swing for that, like, truly high upside. Like, give me that guy for 10 plus years, franchise altering quarterback, not just attract and you build around him. I want a guy that, like, can propel and, like, kind of do, this is no shade to Kirk Cousins, but, like, do more than what you got out of Kirk. And I thought Kirk a good quarterback, but obviously we knew that there was always a limit to what you could get out of Kirk. I want a guy more than out of that, like, who can make everyone around him better. And when he's just a guy that can, like, put the team on his back and say, all right, let's go, we're gonna find a way to win. And, like, that's what I want. Like, I really wanted that, like, for a long time. Culpepper is probably the last guy we truly had that could do. I want that guy. Like, it's so hard to watch teams like the Buffalo Bills, the you know, the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, I even think the Chargers with Justin Hill. Like, all these teams with elite, like Lamar Jackson, elite level quarterbacks. And we're sitting here with, like, a good, very good quarterback, but nothing like elite. And I like want that as a fan, you know, because I want our team to win a Super Bowl. And I think that's the best way to do it.
You know, I was talking with my dad this morning, and we were chatting about, you know, what quarterback they could take. And
without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Basically said the same thing that you did. I said, you know, wouldn't it be fun if we had a quarterback where if the play breaks down within the first 3 seconds, like, right, the play's not over. Like, you know, Kirk Cousins, it was like, I am standing on this spot. I am not moving. I am processing everything. Oh, the play's over. Just
right. Down.
Like, yep. I think, and I'll talk about the Schrager report a little bit better, but I think that fans, I've used this term with Penix. It would be like socks for Christmas. if they had to settle for Bo or Mike. I almost called him. See, here's the funny thing. I almost called him Bo Penix, and it's legit because I was thinking about this the other day. If you had Michael Penix standing in a mirror from Bo next, it would be the mirror image, right? So you have one quarterback's right-handed, one quarterback's left-handed. They're both like, you know, they can't really create out a structure, but one guy's like he got called a 3-point shooter because he throws downfield too much. And the other guy gets roasted because he checks down all the time. Like if you were able to combine them into one prospect, he would go number one in the draft. Like he would have everything you would want.
Yeah, 100%.
And I mean, yeah, he'd be like 24, 25 years old. But I mean, at the same time, you know.
Joe Burrow was too. Yeah, I mean, whatever. Yeah,
Joe Burrow turned out fine. I'll ask you this because you're kind of on a tight schedule here. But if the Vikings don't take a quarterback in the first round or they wait for a second one, who is your favorite non-quarterback target for the Vikings?
See, it's been so hard. I've like looked at obviously defensive players because I think there's a scenario. Let me caveat that real quick. I think there is a scenario where like they use 11 to move up to get the quarterback, but maybe they don't have to give it 23 to do it. Like maybe JJ McCarthy, we've never seen four quarterbacks, you know, go right in a row to start the draft ever. And I'm not saying it can't change this year because maybe it will, but maybe that fourth guy does fall to 6, 7, 8 and not 4, you know, 3, 4, 5, you know, and maybe 4, 5, I should say in this scenario. And so maybe you don't have to give up 23 to get up to 7 or 8 with the, you know, the Titans or the Falcons to go get that fourth quarterback. And then you get to keep pick 23. In those scenarios, that's probably like ideal scenario because you don't have to like overpay to still get a top quarterback. And you could still get that hopefully impact defender with your 23rd pick. And so for me, in those scenarios, I really would love to see if you're not going to get a lockdown corner like a Terrion Arnold or Quinyon Mitchell, I think those two guys would be like my ideal corner scenarios. But if you're not going to go that, we really need a disruptor on the interior defensive line. Like that's been, and we haven't spent a top round pick on a D lineman or an edge rusher to be, for that matter, before the first two rounds. Byron Murphy, who I think is probably going to go higher than 23. But if you can get, or Johnny Newton, like if you get me one of those two guys at 23, I'll be elated. Like that's to me, like you find a way to get JJ McCarthy with like 7th, 8th pick. And you find a way to get 23 and use that on like a Johnny Newton or a Byron Murphy or something. That's an A+ draft to me. I don't care what they do the rest of the draft. That to me is an A+ draft because you're solidifying your quarterback impact, both the run and the pass game, which is something that they need desperately.
So I know you're on a tight schedule, so we're going to try and get you out of here. Before I take her home, what's going on with Climb the Pocket and Purple on Draft right now? We still got you or a little bit of internet problems with Miles right now, but we'll see if he's
you hear me?
You still there? Hear you. Okay.
Oh, man. My computer is being very, my work computer is being very finicky right now. I need to restart it.
Yeah.
Can you hear me, Chris?
I can hear you. You're still breaking up. You want to try it one more time?
Yeah. I was just going to say, so like Climbing the Pocket, as much as I would love to be doing, you know, recording as much as possible, we just had some personal issues, you know, and stuff like that. So we've kind of taken a hiatus, but I'm hoping to get that back soon. We're kind of just like taking a break the class to do. So fun.
Well, Miles, thank you for coming on and talking some football with us. We'll appreciate it. We'll have to get you on down the road, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Chris. I really appreciate it.
I think we got him here. I'm just going to take this thing home. Very much appreciate Miles for coming on. Kind of fuckers at the end. The internet gremlins kind of cut him in and out, but it all worked out for us. Before we take off, I just want to say a couple of things about Peter Schrager's mock. And we're hearing a lot of things. We're coming down the home stretch and we're hearing a lot of things about what the Vikings want to do in the NFL draft. Remember this time last year, a lot of people said that Hendon Hooker was going to be a Viking, right? And I was one guy who my head was going to explode if they had did that because he was a 25-year-old quarterback. He was coming off a torn ACL. There were a lot of problems with that potential pick. And as we've seen, he got taken by the Detroit Lions in the third round and has not played a snap. He might not play a snap in Detroit because Jared Goff is there and he's basically grabbed the quarterback position by the balls there. So that is all great. When you look at the Vikings and where they're at right now, that 11th overall pick, I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to complain about the fact that they won two games and they can't, you know, if you enjoyed the Creed vibes that Josh Dobbs brought you for a couple of weeks, more power to you. But it also would have benefited the Vikings had they dropped those games. It's kind of a hindsight is 2020 thing, because now you're at 11 instead of 5. It's harder to trade up. It just kind of is what it is with the situation. What sucks for the Vikings here is that the top three teams can very well take a quarterback. I know Elliott Wolf said he was open for business, but it doesn't mean that he's just going to accept the first offer like a Madden franchise, right? You go in, you're like, I'm just going to trade this pick and see what the best offer is. No, they could look at all of it and they could, you know, it's kind of like Kwesi mentioned. It's a walk-away price for them where, okay, do we really like J.J. McCarthy or can we get an extra first-round pick? Or even better, and I think I saw this in another mock draft, and it might have been Mel Kiper's, where the Patriots trade out of 3 and they get J.J. McCarthy anyway at 11, which would be kind of weird for Vikings fans, but if they like Drake May that much more over J.J. McCarthy, that's the proper pick. I want to talk about Bo Nix, and I want to talk about the thought of him coming to Minnesota. I said a couple of episodes ago that Bo Nix might be a better fit than Jaden Daniels was for this offense. We talked about it a little bit, how Kevin O'Connell got very frustrated when he had to work with Josh Dobbs, a quarterback that could scramble out of the pocket, maybe scrambled a little too early. Jaden Daniels is a better processor than Josh Dobbs, so that is not the main issue here. It's playing within structure, being an accurate quarterback, and all that stuff. If you look at Bo Nix in a vacuum, he meets all of Kevin O'Connell's requirements, right? He's accurate. He can go through progressions. He can do all that stuff. The problem with Bo Nix is that that offense at Oregon helped him out immensely. Like, if you want to talk about Brock Purdy getting propped up by the offensive Avengers in San Francisco, Brock Purdy was doing that with Dan Lanning's staff in Oregon and the supporting cast they had there. His average depth of target was about 6 yards. And I believe his screen percentage was 22, which was the 11th highest in the country, according to Pro Football Focus. That's qualifying passers with 20% of the league lead in snaps, I believe. That's how Pro Football Focus manages that. And then some people use like 50 or whatever. But regardless, those are very high clips and very manufactured passes. So when Bo Nix completes 77% of his passes and sets an NCAA record, it's a lot like Sam Bradford in 2016, because he set the completion record that year, and a lot of it was just dink and dunk. The offensive line sucks. We can't do much about it. That sort of thing. Where I get off on Bo Nix is something that Miles mentioned. Like, if the Vikings go ahead and settle, like they don't want to make that trade, or the top three teams don't want to trade, it will be deflating for this fan. At the beginning of the offseason, I said the main mission for this team was to make the Vikings fun again. And I thought that Kirk Cousins had to leave in order for that to happen, because that's played out. We know what's going to happen. He's going to win 9 or 10 games and you're going to bounce in the first round of the playoffs. Even if you do add Byron Murphy with the 11th overall pick in that scenario, and maybe you do make that trade for the second first round pick as well. Like, if you had two defensive players, yeah, you're sitting there being like, okay, this is cool, but what's your ceiling? Like, with Bo Nix, you have to ask yourself the same thing, because they're basically going to play Kirk Cousins football with Bo Nix. They're going to try and prop everything up. They're going to build the infrastructure, which are both important. You want a good supporting staff and you want a good supporting players around him. But at the same time, Nix isn't going to be that quarterback that, you know, it's been too long since the Vikings have went out and been like, we're that fucking team. Like 2009 Vikings, where they went out and they, you know, used Brett Favre and they just dominated teams until they got to the NFC Championship game that we won't speak of. 2017, they had a kick-ass defense that said, we are that team. It's probably been since 2017, since the Vikings have been legitimate contenders, because they've been basically pulling the slot machine. Like, if this goes right, if this goes right, and this goes right, we could get to the Super Bowl, or we could compete in the NFC. That's the problem. You're basically switching out, hey, let's build around Kirk Cousins, to, assuming he signs a contract extension, let's build around Justin Jefferson, right? Because he's going to get kind of quarterback money, or what is considered to be quarterback money now. The market's going to keep going up. More guys are going to get paid. And, you know, if you're paying Justin Jefferson $37.5 million, maybe upwards towards $40 million, like, there's still going to be guys like Jordan Love who are going to sign a long-term extension for $50 million, $55 million. Kirk Cousins got $45 million a year. Like, that number is going to keep going up. So when people balk at the price of a Jefferson extension, I'm saying, well, I mean, it's wide receiver money. It's what wide receiver money is now. But you still have to build around that because it's a massive contract that takes up assets, takes up cap space, and all that stuff. So I mean, if we're going with Bo Nix, you're basically getting another robotic quarterback that you have to scheme everything. Like, nobody in this, like, Brock Purdy's a good quarterback. Like, I'm kind of slamming him a little bit, but he's a good functional quarterback. But nobody goes in the draft being like, God, if we could only get Brock Purdy, if we could get this quarterback that we could prop up and build up the supporting cast, we'll be in good shape. You're going to go 9-10 wins again. Like, Bo Nix is 24. The last time he was in Minnesotan's mind, he was convincing people to build a statue of PJ Fleck because he looked like shit in the Outback Bowl. Like, those are things we have to consider right now. Bo Nix, he could be fine. He could be absolutely fine as an NFL quarterback. But I think fans in Minnesota are sick of being fine at the quarterback position. They were fine at the quarterback position for the last 6 years. Last time they went to an NFC championship game, they did it with Case Keenum. Like, that is what's going on. And even if they do, like, sit at 23, let's say they take Michael Penix. There's at least an excitement factor with Michael Penix compared to Bo Nix, where Penix isn't real great at creating out a structure, but he's willing to throw the ball downfield. He's willing to take risks. You know, Vikings fans, remember Dante Culpepper, right? That guy, his biggest play was, I'm going to throw it as far as I can, and Randy Moss is going to run as fast as he can and see what happens. That could be what they do with Justin Jefferson. Just, I'm going to throw it towards 18 way and see what happens. Or I'm going to throw it towards Jordan Addison's way or TJ Hockenson's way. Like, there would be legitimate excitement. I feel like Bo Nix would be, people just wouldn't be excited. So, and again, it's not the Vikings' job to be a PR machine. It's Kwesi's number one job isn't to satisfy the fans. It's to keep his own job. And if, you know, the Denver Broncos want to get crazy and they want to offer Patrick Surtain and 3 first-round picks, there's not much the Vikings can do to outbid that unless they want to get crazy in their own right and, like, throw in Christian Darrisaw or something. And I don't think that would work real well because you're taking away from the infrastructure that you've been praising. But I feel like Bo Nix would be the most deflating scenario for a fan base that honestly has been rejuvenated over the past couple of months, looking at quarterbacks, looking at possibilities, and doing all of those things. So I don't know, man. I mean, it's going to come down to the wire. There's reports that the Vikings would like to have a trade in place by Thursday night. I don't know if they can make that happen, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. And I don't know. I just feel like Bo Nix would be the quarterback that kind of just throws it all down the drain. So that's pretty much it. Got a comment here. Let's see. KOC, this is from Dave L for the podcast crowd. KOC likes Bo Nix. Deal with it. It's sick we sell next year's draft for JJ. Nothing is worse than a draft without a pick. Okay. Like, honestly, like I said, I'm just not going to be excited about it. And like Miles said too, like, we're going to be upset on draft night. We're going to take a couple of months and be like, all right, what do they see in this guy? Because overall, I trust Kevin O'Connell and his staff a lot more than, say, Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer, right? Because those guys were defense, win now, everything else. Like, I don't think that Bo Nix is the number one quarterback on the board at TCO Performance Center. If he was, I don't think the Vikings would be making calls right now trying to make a swing into the top five, because Bo Nix isn't going in the top five. Now, the draft is random. We never know. Like, I mean, shit, the Commanders could go out and be like, Bo Nix at number two. And everybody like, what the hell? But let's see. I this might be a Nix burner. Now I'm looking at it. Let's read another one from Dave. Nix led Auburn to a 9-4 record in his freshman season, winning the Iron Bowl 48-45. All you hear is how bad he was at Auburn. Most quarterbacks wear a red shirt. I'm assuming he's saying freshman year. He might be typing another comment here. I don't really care what he did at Auburn, to be honest with you. He won the Iron Bowl. Great. Zach Anik said, or who was the quarterback? Tanner Morgan. Tanner Morgan won Paul Bunyan's axe at Minnesota. Doesn't mean he's a good pro quarterback. And I know, again, I know Bo Nix had the stats. You can shove. Kirk Cousins had the stats. We played this fucking game for 6 years. Like, I'm not sold on Bo Nix. If Kevin O'Connell goes, I mean, I can already hear what Kevin O'Connell is saying about Bo Nix right now. Just, oh yeah, you know how I feel about Bo. You know, we really liked Bo during the process, and you know, he's really accurate, and you know, he slides around the pocket a lot. And we you know, Bo Nix is really the guy that we wanted in this draft. Kirk Cousins 2.0. And some people will be like, well, I liked Kirk Cousins. He was great. Great. Go love your robot quarterbacks all you want. He improved more than everyone. Okay. And why did that happen? He was propped up by an offense, and he was propped up by a supporting cast. I don't want a quarterback that's propped up by anything. I want a quarterback that's propped up by his right or left arm that can throw bombs down the field and make clutch plays. Bo Nix didn't do it. Go watch the Washington game against Michael Penix Jr. Didn't get it done there. So, all right, there's my anti-Bo Nix rant. Sorry for the profanity. Hopefully none of you are listening at the office, but I should probably shut it down right now. That is all the time we have on the Viking Age podcast today. We do a early week episode on Mondays as well as a late week episode. We're also in Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you rate, comment, like, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. Thank you to Miles Gorham for coming on. I apologize for cutting him off at the end there, but we really appreciate his insight and hopefully we'll have him on again. But until then, I am Chris Shad. This has been the Viking Age Podcast.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.